So just to review what we spoke about yesterday, there's something called Overes Aldas, which means that she doesn't live up to the standards, the codes of modesty in a Jewish marriage, and she's going to perhaps lose her rights to the ketubah if she does something pretty, you know, unbecoming, you know, something... a serious transgression. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Do we have to warn her first? Does she need a hasra? The Gemara thought to prove it from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that even in cases where there's no hashkav, right, she doesn't drink from the bitter waters, like in the case of an aruso or a shomer siyavam, nevertheless there's kinu. And kinu means that he warns her. And the question is, what's the significance of kinu? And the Gemara thinks the significance of kinu is that it's a hasra, it's a warning that if she violates that warning, she loses her rights to the ketubah. So you see that without a warning, she doesn't lose her ketubah. That's what the Gemara wanted to prove. And then the Gemara quoted Abaye, a statement of Abaye, and Abaye says, no, there's no proof from our Mishnah. The function and the purpose of the kinui is not to set up a warning so that she loses her ketubah, but rather la osra lov, right? That if she violates his warning and his kinui, and she goes secluded herself with that person, then they can no longer resume their marriage. And Rav Papa came up with another idea, which was quite brilliant, that perhaps the purpose of kinui in our Mishnah, in the case of an arusa and a shomer siyavam, is to be able to facilitate her drinking the mei merarim if she violates the kinui and she has stira after she became a nesua. So there were two stages. There was the stage of erusin, and during the time of erusin, he gave her a warning. And then after the Nisuin, she violated that warning and she went into Stira. She had a close, secluded relationship. In such a case, she drinks from the bitter waters because she violated the Kinui, and the Kinui was valid. So again, when the Mishnah says that she, in the case of an Arusa, she's outside of the parish of Sota, that's only as far as drinking during the erusin, but as far as the kinui to set up the whole process, that could be set up even during erusin. So again, just to review, according to our Papa, the kinui took place during erusin, the stira took place after the suin, after the chuppah, and she'll drink from the mei merarim because of the validity of that kinui. But this has no relevance, no bearing on the question of overes aldas. So what we're up to today is Amar Rava Toshma. So let's see if we could all find a place and we'll all be together on the same page. If you count down from the top of the page, let's see, you'll get to, let's see, how many lines would you have to count down? Do you gentlemen have a standard Gemara?
Yes.
You don't have a Steinsaltz or anything like that. No. If you have the standard Gemara, then you see that this page has skinny lines, thinner lines, and then it has wider lines, correct?
Yes.
So above the wide lines, if you count up three lines, you'll see Amar Rava, correct? The first word in the line is Lahashkosa. And then it says at the end of the line, Amar Rava, Toshma.
Mm-hmm.
So Rava is going to quote another part of that Mishnah, and he's going to try to prove from a different part of that Mishnah whether or not you need this hasra in the case of Overes Aldas.
25A1.
Okay. If you have the art scroll, then it will say 25A2.
Ah, two.
Okay then? So I gave you a summary of 25A1. That you got the summary. That was what we called Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law. And now we're up to the written law.
But hang on, have we jumped quite a bit?
No, we didn't even skip a single word. We haven't skipped a single word. All right, Omar Rava.
Yeah.
Toshma.
We skipped a whole bunch at the beginning. Yeah, Toshma.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I skipped from Tav Zion. Yeah, that I skipped. But not here. Here in the fourth parak, I haven't skipped a word. Almana l'kohen gadol. Do you remember that in the categories that the Mishnah established, which are women who are excluded from sota, we had the category of illegal marriages, illegitimate marriages, meaning the marriage is valid, but it's not kosher. And the halacha is that he has to divorce his wife. So in the case of a non-kosher marriage, the Torah says that she doesn't drink from the Meimarar. And now, and these are called Chayve Lavim. I think it's still on the board, actually. Yeah, it's still on the board. Nobody had the chutzpah to erase it. Chayve Lavim. So we have the case of an Almana. She was married once before. And let's say her husband died. Again, if her husband divorced her, then that's the next category called Grusha, Lekoin Hedjot. Any Kohen is enjoined from marrying a Grusha. But in the case of Kohen Gadol, he's enjoined from marrying even an Almana. She was married before, yep. And now she was widowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Grusha of a Chalutza Lekoin Hedjot. So that's again a Chayve Lavim. And finally, we have Mamzeres Unesina Li Yisrael. So we have a case of a man who married a Mamzeres. Or the flip side, Bas Yisrael Mamzer, Lenosin. So again,
what,
these
what
are.
What is Nesina?
Oh, we spent a long time on Nesina. You weren't here at that time. I'll give you just the gist of it. A Nesina is a descendant of a group of Givonim, a people who came from Givon, who fooled Yoshua into believing that they were foreigners, that they weren't really from the local population of the Palestinians at that time. So they said, we came from far away.
Mm-hmm.
They dressed up and they this and that, and they tricked them to enter into a bris, and that's the whole story. And in later generations, they tried to join the Jewish people, but they were not good people, and David HaMelech put a whammy on them that we're not allowed to marry them. That's okay. Called a Nosin or a Nosin. Okay. So what does the Mishnah say about all these non-kosher marriages? Lo shosos, they don't drink from the Meimararim, velo notos ksuba, nor do they get the ksuba. Again, why do they lose the ksuba? Even though they won't drink?
They're not legally married.
No, not because of that, but because of stira. Remember, there was kini and stira.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're talking about all the elements of sota, except for the last one. All the elements means A, there was kini, B, there was stira. At this point, as a result of the stira, when she secludes herself with that person and violates his kiddui, she becomes asura al baila. She can no longer resume her intimate relationship, her husband, her marriage relationship. And velo notlos ksuba. They don't. The only thing that's missing, and the exclusion from sota, is only as far as drinking the meimararim. They will not drink for the meimararim. And if you recall, we derived this from a pasuk that the marriage has to be a healthy, you know, halachically healthy marriage. Here it wasn't halachically healthy, and therefore she doesn't drink for the Meimarora. Just one second. But everything else applies to her. So let's read the Gemara now. Lo shosos, velo notlos ksuba, that even though she does not drink for the Meimarora, nevertheless the kini and stira register, they're valid, and therefore she can no longer resume her relationship. And she was at fault because she had the stira, and therefore she forfeits her ksuba. So the Gemara says the following. Up until now, we quoted the Mishnah. Mishta hu delo shasya, she doesn't drink from the meimararim, ha kinui makanila, but the kini itself is valid. So what is the significance in the halachic world of the kinui? If she's not going to drink anyway from the meimararim, lamai means for what? Halachic repercussion do we have to this kinui? Oh, so you're going to tell me with the answer that you gave me above, Ilu Ostranolov, to generate an Issa that she cannot resume our relationship with her husband, Hasira and Vakaiman, they're already in that state of Issa, right? All these cases are non-kosher marriages, so it wouldn't make any sense that the Mishnah would imply that we need the kinui in order to generate an Issa al Baila. So by press of elimination, Ella Lav, it must be the following, Lav Sidon Ksubasa, that she's going to lose her ksuba. So we see that a woman loses her ksuba because of what? of the kinui. What's the kinui in this case? A warning. So it means that even though she acted promiscuously and she went into a private place with a man, another man other than her husband, which is again a violation of what's called the Isur Yichud, nevertheless she doesn't lose her ksuba. She only loses her ksuba in this case because of the kinui, because she violated the kinui. The whole purpose of the Mishnah, the Mishnah's purpose and agenda in adding the kinui element here and validating the kinui is so that she loses her ksuba. It means that she loses her ksuba because of the kinui. If she loses her ksuba because of the kinui, then we can prove from that that Overis al Das, a woman who's acting in the context of marriage immodestly, needs a warning. If you didn't give her a warning, she won't lose her ksuba. Does anybody? Yeah, go ahead. Never mind.
No, but may I ask you, if possible, just to open the window a touch on that side there on the left. Just to get some air in here. There's no
two questions. First of all, those forbidden marriages which are marriages.
Correct, they're valid but forbidden.
How can they happen?
I'll show you.
A man comes to a woman. She happens to be a mamzeres. He's not a mamzer. And he gives her a kesef and he says to her in front of two witnesses, Harei at
mekudeshes. Yeah.
That's what happened.
So that's just because he didn't know she was a mamzeret.
He knew very well.
He knew.
Yeah.
So it doesn't invalidate the whole process.
Why does this
And how long does how long does the warning last for life?
Ooh, I don't know. That's an excellent question. That's a brilliant question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For that, I think we'll have to learn the second part of this chapter, which we didn't even get to.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have so many different questions. Like, for example, we're going to have a whole sugya. Maybe we'll get to it today, if not, hopefully next week. Whether he can rescind and cancel the kinui and say, forget it, I drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we said, for example, he could decide that she doesn't drink from the main Maroran. And now you're asking another question, is there a time limit? Pag Tokfo, as we say, you know, that it has an expiration date to the kinui. Right now, I would have to tell you, Alan, again, it could be that when we learn the sugya, we're going to find out the opposite, but now I would tell you intuitively, there's no expiration date. That kinui, until he rescinds it, keeps going. It's first time, every time. Remember, Everetti batteries, what were they called? Right?
You know. When in this situation, when the woman doesn't drink the Mei Merarim,
right,
which is a way for her to prove that
she's innocent.
Even she secluded with a man, she is innocent.
Right, she did not commit adultery.
Yeah,
she doesn't have that option.
And here, for those cases, they're not given the chance to prove that they are not guilty.
Right, that's what
she
we discussed.
That chance when she went into seclusion.
Right. She
even
would,
though she may not have actually had a relationship with the man, she, in her loose lifestyle, goes ahead against the Azhara, and she's not above suspicion.
No, I
worse than
I
that.
Agree.
She's guilty until proven innocent.
No.
And if she can't prove herself innocent, then she's guilty.
Right.
All right, Rabosai, let's hang in there. Amar Rav Yehuda mi Diskarato. Okay, last time I was in Diskarato, they didn't okay me. They didn't like my passport. They didn't let me in. So I didn't get to see Diskarato. Anyway, this Rav Yehuda came from Diskarato. He says, "Lo, there's no proof here. You want to prove that you need a warning in order to generate a loss of ksuba? That's not what's going on over here. Now look at the brilliant move he makes. You know why we need the kinui? La osra le boel kebal. As a result of the violation of the kinui, she will never be able, according to the halacha, to have a relationship with the boel." Again, we don't know there was a boel, but we suspect that there was a boel, right? The kinui identified a person by name. Don't you go into seclusion with him. We now suspect that she may have had a relationship with him. And the kinui is effective to create an iser to the boel. Again, as far as the baal is concerned, well, it's a grusha lekohen hedjot, or an almona lekohen gadol, or a mamzeres liyisrael. I don't need the kinui to generate an iser. I already have a chayve lavim situation, but I need the kinui to generate an iser on the boel. And this is based on the Mishnah that says, Kishem she'asura lebaal, kach asura leboel. Which means that a znus relationship, an adultery relationship, has a double impact. It's going to create an iser on the baal. She can no longer have a relationship with her own husband because this adultery. And number two, she could never be married or have any intimacy with the boel, the person with whom she had this adulterous relationship. Again, let's review the Gemara's conclusion here. The Gemara is saying that as far as hasra is concerned for ksuba, in the case of overis al das, those misbehavior, misdemeanors, we don't need to give her asura. She was very well aware of what marriage, Jewish marriage, demands of her. And she will forfeit a ksuba even in the absence of a hasra, even if she wasn't forewarned. The Mishnah says kinui. You know why the Mishnah needs kinui? The purpose of kinui and the ultimate impact of kinui is that she can never have a relationship with this man because she went into a private place with him, and we suspect that perhaps and likely that she had this relationship.
It would seem instinctive that she shouldn't have the opportunity with the adulterer.
The Mishnah is going to derive this from Psukim. I see
the pasuk. That's what I'm saying.
I always say about this: if you like the halacha, take it. But if you don't like it, you have to take it anyway. So in this case, you like it, so that's good. You can put thumbs up here. What do they call it on Facebook? Thumbs up. You know, I like it. You know, another life. I'm glad you like it. I'm very happy.
But again, if there wasn't the pasuk, it's just instinctive that she should never have the opportunity to do.
Okay, so I'm saying you like it, take it. I personally don't understand the halacha in that way. To me, halacha, it says Ela Mishpatim Ashatasim Lifneim. We're going to read that tomorrow, right, day after tomorrow. So the Sfas Emes, the great Hasidic Gerer Rebbe, asked the following question. It says these are called Mishpatim. Mishpatim means I like it. It's intuitive. It makes sense. So why did the Torah have to give it to me? I don't need it from the Torah. It's intuitive.
Right.
So he answers, no, that's not our approach to Torah. We don't accept Torah because we think it's intuitive. Because if you're going to go with that approach, you're in deep trouble.
You just pick
deep
whatever
trouble.
You
but
like.
Again, if you like it, take it. I'm very happy that you like it. You know, I give a drasha here every Shabbos before Musa. And I try to get the people to like it. So if they like it, that's great. But even if you didn't like it, you'd have to take it because it's the next Mishnah.
Okay,
and the
like
Mishnah
it,
is going to learn from the Torah that she can never have a relationship with the boy.
That's only when if her husband is still alive.
No, forever and ever. Yeah. Forever and ever. Once she had a relationship with another man, and we suspect in this case that she did, the kinui plus tira effectuates that iser. She can never resume. She can never have an intimate relationship with her husband. She can never have an intimate relationship with the so-called boel, the accused boel. And again, that's going to be in the next Mishnah. So, again, I don't think we'll get to it before Rabbi Meis returns, but it's a very interesting Mishnah. Mm-hmm. There's tremendous amount of what we call lumdus, you know, deep. Depth of understanding, because the question is, what would be in a case, and this is a very interesting case, where there's no iser on the baal, would there be an iser on the boel? Again, you can have various cases. Is it a package deal that because she can no longer have a relationship with her husband, therefore she can no longer have a relationship with the boel, or are they two independent isurim? We're going to have another question here. What happens if this married woman, a Jewish woman, had a relationship with a non-Jew, and then he converted to Judaism? Does the Iser of Echad LeBoel apply? And you would say intuitively, for sure it should apply.
It applies,
and it's not simple.
It applies or not?
No.
I'm not going to give you the final answer, because for that you have to, you know, there are no easy answers.
When you're converting, as from what I understood, it's just a new person.
Right, so it could be. Coming. So again, that only applies in the halachic universe.
It's a rayos.
You know, I remember, do you guys know what the word euthanasia means? They used to have mercy killing, right? So, things have changed, but when I was a youngster and I took ethics in college and graduate school, so there was a big push towards euthanasia, put a person out of his misery. Do you know that according to halach, if you do that, again, assuming certain, we're going to put you to death. You know, the physician who pulls the plug because he sees the patient and you know, he has all the signed papers and I'm not going to go into all the details. So that's what I'm telling you. Ela mishpatim, the pasuk says, Asher tasim lifneihem. Tasim lifneihem means that you may or may not think you understand the Torah, you think it's intuitively, you know, it's very funny because in last week's parasha we had the mitzvah Kibud Av V'Em. Mm-hmm. So all the philosophers, going back to Rav Sadia Gaon, you know, 1,200 years ago, they say that Kibud Av V'Em is natural, it's intuitive, mm-hmm. and I understand it. If I had a half hour, I would absolutely convince you that Kibud Av V'Em is not intuitive. Not halachic Kibud Av V'Em. You know, the general idea of honor thy parents, that's intuitive. That's logical. But not the way the halacha deals with it. There are situations in which morality and ethics out there in the public would say, no, this can't be. But the halacha has demands of Kibud Av V'Em that go way, way beyond ethics. Okay, anyway, that was just a digression. You know what? We should have two shiurim every day. One shiur is we want to learn sota. The other shiur we want to talk and schmooze, and I'll tell you stories. I have a lot of good jokes. And we can get to know each other, and we can discuss philosophy. And we can sit around and, you know, smoke cigars and have a cup of coffee.
Good idea.
But the only problem is that we're learning sota. So I apologize for that.
It's not a problem.
Yeah. Amar Rav Chanina Misura. Okay, now this is not Syria. This is Sura. Sura is in Babylonia. Sura. Have you ever been there?
Sura Pembedita.
I tried to go. They wouldn't let me in. Okay, anyway. Amar Rav Chanina Misura. Toshma, I have an answer to your question. And finally, the Gemara is going to accept this answer. The end of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there are certain people who are not capable of giving kinui. They just simply don't have the mental capacity. So Bezdin steps up to the plate, and they substitute for the husband himself, and they give kinui on his behalf. That's called shlucho shel adam kimoso. Mm-hmm. An emissary or an agent has the same status as the original person. The elu shebezdin maknin lahem. Bezdin will offer a kinui and warn this woman she's misbehaving, and they will tell her stop hanging around this guy or whoever it is. Even though the husband is incapable of giving kinui, Bezdin will do it on behalf of the husband. And here's the list of people that fit that category. Mishan is charesh baila. Her husband Nebuch became a deaf mute. Okay, people mistakenly think that a cheresh is a deaf person. That's total amaratzis, total ignoramus. A deaf person has a regular status in halacha like anyone else. However, if he's deaf and mute and he cannot communicate, then he has a different status. Today, the poskim will deal with deaf mutes in a whole different way because there's so many ways that we have in modern technology to communicate without speech that a deaf mute today will probably, again, don't quote me on this, will probably have the same status as any other Israelite. Nishtate, okay, that's much more complicated. He translates it here as an article as deranged. Again, I would write a letter to the editor here. This is totally wrong. Shota has nothing to do with deranged, but okay, I didn't write the script, so you know, you write a letter to art school on my behalf. Osha Yechavish Bebeis Asurim, he was locked up in prison, and this woman, his wife, you know, it's very natural, you know, the husband's not around. You know, when the cats are away, the mice will play. So wait a minute. So what happens? Bezdin is aware, I mean the reputation is out here, this girl is not behaving properly. So what do they do? Bezdin gives her kinui. Now, what is the impact of that kinui? So the Mishnah says, Lo lashkosa amru. That kinui will not be effective for drinking the mei merorim. That has to come from the husband. And now again, we have to ask the question, so what's the point of the kinui?
Right.
As we say in Gemara language, mei nafkamina, what's the import of the kinui?
Right.
And that's what we've been doing over and over again. In each case, we said, well, the import of the kinui is not for the ksuba, but lo shel baila, that she can't have a relationship with her husband, or the kinui effectuates that she can't have a relationship with the boel. Ela leposla miksubasa. Now, this is pretty, pretty clear. Here, the Mishnah is almost black and white, that the purpose of the kinui is leposla miksubasa, shmamina boy hasra. You see that the Mishnah requires a warning for her misbehavior. Her misbehavior per se would not generate a loss of ksuba. So if a woman violates the code of Jewish modesty, that per se would not be grounds for her losing her rights to the ksuba unless there was a warning. And that's why in this case we're going to give a kinui on behalf of the Baal, and it's in his best interest to warn her so she should shape up and behave properly, and tell her that if she doesn't do so, and she doesn't get her act together, and she doesn't rectify her ways, she will lose her ksuba. That's a heck of a lot of money. Nobody should laugh about a ksuba, I want you to know.
But if she...
A ksuba is a lot of money. Wait a minute. Shmamina boy hasra. We learn from this that a woman to lose her ksuba needs what? Asra. And then look at the next two words. Shmamina. Well, whenever you see shmamina twice, it means this is the final word. And in the previous two proofs that were attempted, the Gemara rejected them. Here, shmamina.
So the Beis Din gives her the asra, and she's still able to have the mayamarim?
No. There's no mayamarim. Mayamarim is only when the Baal gives her kinui. This is not the real thing, if you know what I mean. Coca-Cola is the real thing.
The Baal has not given her asra.
Correct.
It's the Beis Din.
Yeah, but
she still retains her right to have the mayamarim, right?
No, there's no mayamarim. Oh, if he becomes
yes,
same
right.
again.
Let's say he goes
to the psychiatrist, or when he gets out to prison.
In the absence for whatever his condition is.
Yeah.
Therefore, she is allowed to have the mayamarim. It's her discretion. She goes through the mayamarim, and she passes the mayamarim test. That should then still give her the qualification of having the ksuba.
Yes.
She shouldn't lose
Absolutely.
The ksuba.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She only loses her ksuba because she violated the hasra of Beis Din. Now, you're asking a different question. Let's ask your question. I always forget your first name. I'm sorry.
Marvin.
How did I forget that? Marvin's asking the following question. Again, this is going to need a lot of thought. Marvin is asking, what happens if somewhere down the line she will drink from mayamarim? What about her ksuba?
Right.
So I'll tell you again, intuitively, just I'm shooting from the hip, as we say, I would say she loses her ksuba. Not what I said to you before. I'm chozebi. I want to rescind what I said to you before. I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara is telling us now that the kinui is going to generate a loss of ksuba. That's the whole import of the kinui. Again, the kinui itself is meaningless because she doesn't drink mei marim. So why are we bothering with this kinui? Why are we self-appointed agents of the Baal to give a kinui? The Gemara says because she has to shape up, and if she continues this immodest behavior, then she'll lose her ksuba. That would be irreplaceable. Again, it could be that as far as the Issur Labayla is concerned, we can remove that if down the line she drinks from Mei Merarim. But I'll tell you the truth, it's a little bit more complicated, Marvin, than even what I just told you. Because let's say he gets out of prison, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So then I think what would happen is he would have to start from scratch. It would have to be a new kinui. Because, again, the whole purpose of the kinui of Beis Din was only to be mafsid hadiksuba. And now you want to create a kinui that will ultimately culminate with shesia mei marim. For that you'd need a kinui of the Baal. So again, in effect, I think as far as the laws of sota is concerned, meaning shtir, you would need a whole new kinui. Why? Because the only kinui that can generate a shtia mimei marim is the Baal's kinui. So the purpose of the kinui of Beis Din is only that she should lose her ksuba. Again, we're hoping she won't lose her ksuba. We're hoping that she'll shape up and she'll lose. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Just 1 second. V'kulo my time alo amri meha. Okay, so here we have to translate the words. Because this is a methodological approach that's all over Talmud. V'kulu and all those who came before us. Right, we had an attempt of Rava. And before Rava we had Abaye. And before that we had Toshma. All the Amoraim, what were they thinking before Rabbi Hanina came to the scene? You know, didn't they realize themselves that it's explicit in the Mishnah that a warning is necessary for a woman to lose her ksuba? Hence the warning of these cases of of Nischaresh and Shotev, Hoyev Beis HaChavish Beis HaSurim, in all those cases, the warning is going to effectuate her loss of Ksuba. So you see that she needs a warning in order to effectuate her Ksuba. What were they thinking? Vekulo, all of them, my timer, why is it Lo Amriyachi? Why didn't they come up with this idea? Meha, from this Mishnah? In other words, what the Gemara is now prodding us to think that maybe the proof of Rabbi Chanina is not, you know, it's not 100%. There's a hole, you can punch a hole in this proof. And the Gemara says, Dilma Shaini Hasa, maybe the case of a woman whose husband is out to lunch, as we say, right? That's a different case. Shiny, that's different. Why is that different? So I'm going to read the next few words in the Gemara, but I'm going to try to give you what I think is the flavor of what the Gemara is trying to convey to us. The Lesle a Masa de Baal Klal. She has no fear of her husband. Her husband is not in any state to look down at her and castigate her. He's mute and he's a shote. He's in the Beis Asurim. What that means is that in a certain sense, again, you'll disagree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. In a certain sense, she's not as guilty as we think she is. Meaning, what's the word I'm looking for? What word in English? Could you help me here with the English? When a person justifies their misbehaviors, they
guilty with explanation.
What?
Guilty with explanation?
No, but what's the word, the psychological word when you...
To rationalize?
Rationalize, excellent. I owe you
big time. I'm sorry.
But I needed that word. You can't know how much I needed that word. I'm telling you, I needed that word desperately, and you gave it to me. People say, Rabbi Berzon, what can I do for you, right? I say, just give me the word I need. That's all. Nothing else counts. You know? That was the word I needed. To rationalize. Excellent. Rationalize. Oh, so now let's see how I would plug this in over here. When a woman misbehaves in the laws of modesty in the context of marriage, that's something that we can't tolerate. That doesn't need a hasra. But there are very extreme situations where, if we get into her mindset, in a certain sense, we could rationalize her misbehavior. And those are situations where she's sort of like left on her own, if you know what I mean. You know, the husband is sort of out of context. He's out of tune. He's out there in who knows where. In those cases, you know, where she doesn't have that close relationship with her husband, there's no close proximity, she doesn't get those vibes, you know, that her husband loves her and he wants her for himself. You know, we are selfish. All husbands have to be selfish, and that's the Jewish way of doing it. We don't share our wives with anybody else. My father used to always say, there are two things I don't share with anybody, my wife and my car. I don't know. I'm more liberal. I share my car, but nobody's willing to share their wife.
Toothbrush.
Okay, we'll add toothbrush to the list. But I'm just saying the following, that when a husband is sort of like, he's not around, he's not out there, and he's not, you know, he's not looking at her and being a Baal, the word Baal means that, you know, you are mine, so to speak. I don't mean that he owns her in any sense, but there is a certain Kinyan Isur that she's not allowed to have a relationship with another man. So in that sense, it's very natural. But if he's not around, and I don't mean that physically, but you know, the jail might be next door. I don't know if that makes any difference. In such a case, you know, she might be tempted to rationalize her kind of loose behavior. Then I don't think she should be held guilty unless Beis Din steps in and gives her hasra. And that's the kinu here in these three cases. Because we need to upgrade her avera, so to speak. Normally, her avera doesn't need any upgrade. It's muvan meilav. We understand that this is not accepted behavior. She exposes herself. She flirts with other men and all sorts of things like that. But in the case where her husband is never deranged, let's take the extreme case, and I mean deranged mamish, not a shote, but he's a person who's just out of communication with the world. she's sort of like on her own, if you know what I mean. Again, she's not doing anything that we could condone. I'm not condoning, but I'm just saying there's a certain element of rationalization in her mind. So for that, to counter any sort of misbehavior and any sort of rationalization, we have to give her a hasra. But in general, with the exception of these very, very unusual and extreme cases, she doesn't need a hasra. What do you mean she's misbehaving? She's flirting and she's exposed to this and that. That's intolerable. We don't have to warn her for that. She violates the das and she loses her ksuba. Alright, Iboiluhu, the Gemara now has another suffix. Overis al das. She violated the code of Jewish modesty, and then there's no question about it. And let's even assume that she got a hasra. She was forewarned. But guess what? Ratza baila l'kaima. The husband says, I want to keep her on. I don't want to divorce her. If he would divorce her, she would not get the ksuba, because Overis al das loses her rights to the ksuba. But he's not interested in divorcing her, despite the fact that he gets it freebie. He doesn't have to pay the ksuba if he divorces her. What do you say? Oh, okay, Hoshaya, maybe that's a good case. But anyway, he wants to continue this relationship with his wife, and he's hoping that she will love him and she will be, you know, modest in the future. Mekaima o eina mekaima? Does he have the right to keep up that relationship? Me, I'm reading, should we say, Bekpeda de Bala, Toli Rachmana, the Torah says it all depends upon his Kpeda. Kpeda means he doesn't tolerate her misbehavior, and therefore he will divorce her. But holo kapid, this man says, I don't find this intolerable, I can live with this. And again, I would add the proviso that he hopes that she'll get better and rectify her ways. O Dilma, well, perhaps, cave under kapid. Now, this Gemara makes no sense if you translate it literally. The literal translation is, since he was makbid, he objected to her behavior, so kapid, he was makbid. What do you mean he was makbid? We just finished saying that he wasn't makbid. And he wants to look the other way and ratza baila l'kaima. So what does this mean? Kavan de kapid kapid. Those three words, kavan de kapid kapid, are very, very ambiguous. So I see here there's a footnote number 14. I didn't get a chance to look at it. You'll look at it and tell me what he says. I'll tell you what I would say. Certain things in halacha are subjective, and certain things are objective. I'll give you an example. Let's say I lost an object and I can't find it. There's something called yeyush. Have you ever heard of yeyush?
Give up.
He gives up hope. And once he gives up hope, you don't have to return the object if you find it. But is it objective or it's not objective? Let's say, imagine the following situation. He loses a diamond ring on the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Are you with me, Rabos? At the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, in the depths of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm going to find it. No chance he's going to find it. Then the halacha says, this is objective yeyush. That's called in the Gemara's language, zuto shel yam, if you ever heard of it. It's a whole sugya in the Gemara that we learned when we were in fourth grade. They started us with Eila Metzias. I think it was a big mistake, but that was the minig in my day. You started learning Eila Metzias. Anyway, there's a concept there called zuto shel yam. It's on the bottom of the ocean. It's yeyush. What do you mean it's yeyush? The guy's yelling and screaming. I'm going to hire the most sophisticated divers, you know, scuba divers from Chvesus. I don't know what country they have the best scuba divers. I'm going to pay all the money in the world, and we're going to find this diamond ring, which was probably by now long swallowed up by some big fish. I don't know.
Soil fish is a fish.
Right. He's going to fish up the fish. So in that case, there's yeyush. So there's something called objective halacha. Objective halacha means, again, I'm going to throw out a terminology only for someone who's familiar. I don't want to get sidetracked here. It's called Batla Daito Eitzel Kol Adam, which means that we're not going to concern ourselves, because this guy has a fluky mindset and he's different. We have objective standards. That's what I think the Gemara is saying here. That cave under kapid, since most people in this situation would not tolerate that kind of behavior, kapid, he is also considered a kapid. What do you mean he's a kapid? Now he's like the guy who's saying, I'm going to get this, the deep scuba divers and sea divers, and I'm going to bring up this little teeny diamond ring from the bottom of the sea. We don't trust that. We don't rely on that. Same thing here. It means that there's an objective kepeda. It's not your kepeda. You're the exception to the rule, but we don't baladaitel sokolim. We don't care about your kepeda. Let's see what he says. Oh, typically, that sounds like mine. Let's see. A husband typically objects to prescription from the behavior is deemed to such abuse may imagine. That a divorce is warranted. I wouldn't have gone that far, but okay, fine. Very good. Toshma, the elu shebezdin maknin lahem. Who are the three people that Bezdin will stand up and self-appointed agents, and they will give the kinui? Is the deaf mute and the deranged person, as he calls it, someone who's incarcerated in prison? So the court is now a self-appointed agent. Now that comes under the halacha of zoch in the odom shlo b'fanav, which means if I think I'm working on your behalf, on your benefit, I can step up and work and activate a principle, which means my actions are a shliach, I'm your proxy, even if you didn't appoint me as such, because I'm acting on your behalf. So wait a minute. How do you know that the bezin is acting on his behalf? Maybe he's not makpid. Maybe if he was here, he would say, I don't care, you know, let her play around like this. It doesn't bother me. I'm okay with it. How can you appoint yourself, Bezdin in this case, as the agent on behalf of this Baal to create a violation of Hasra if she violates the Hasra, when maybe he doesn't care, maybe he's not makpid? The answer must be objective kepeda. The Gemara says, "V'i amrit rotza bal lekaima mekaima." If you're going to say it's subjective, and he could decide whether he tolerates hub misbehavior or he doesn't, is avdi bezdi? You have to read it with a rhetorical question. Avdi they will act bezdin mide in a certain case of on his behalf. Dilmalo nichale. Lebal. Maybe if the Baal was here, if he had all his marbles, or maybe if he get, you know, if we could somehow, you know, send him a WhatsApp in jail, he would tell me, Lo nichale, I don't want you to give a hasra on my behalf. I'm not makpid. There must be an objective kpeda over here, which means that there's no such halacha of Mechila, you know, that he could keep wave it, W-A-I-V-E, you know, as he could say it, oh, I don't care one way or the other. No, this is objective, this is halachic. And therefore, we see clearly from the fact that Bezdin is going to operate on his behalf, it means that it's not dependent upon his statement or his kpeda, you know, he denies, he says, none of that is relevant. The halacha sees it as objective kpeda, and therefore Bezdin will offer their services here to give her a kinu. So the Gemara says no. There's no proof. Why? Kostama de milsa, because he has the rights to drop the case against us, so to speak, and say I'm not makpid. But in the absence of his statement, what is our assumption? So now the Gemara is going into what we call Hilchos Sfeikos. Sfeikos means, what do we do in an event that we don't know? Can we assume that he belongs to the majority? 99% of husbands would not tolerate this behavior. Or shall we say, you know what? We don't know what he says. Maybe he belongs to the one percentile. But he's out to lunch. We cannot know. So what do you do in such a case? I'll give you an example. You find a lost object, and for whatever reason, you want to pick it up and acquire ownership for the sake of your best buddy. You know, you're a rich guy, so you don't need any, but you know he could use it. But wait a minute, one in a million guys would say, I don't want it. That's called Soni Matonas Yichi. I don't know if you're familiar, that's a pasuk in Mishlei. In Proverbs, it says, I don't want any gifts. I only want the product of my labor. Okay, how many people would say, don't give me this gift? You know, one in a million? But we would still assume that he belongs to the preponderant majority. That's what the Gemara says here. Stoma de milsa, as a general course of events, came on Dover Saldasi, Menach Nichole. Would he be pleased with our action? Certainly, he would be pleased with the action of the court, because the court is acting on his best interest to warn this woman, to shape up, because I can assume he would probably, in all likelihood, be makbid if he was around. Then we would ask him, and he might say, you know what, I'm not makbid. But Beis Din has to decide, in his absence, what would he want? And here we do a law of sphakus, meaning...
There's an inconsistency.
Wait, I don't want to be inconsistent, but let me just present the Gemara. I get very nervous when you say those words, Marvin. But 1 second, let's try to understand the Gemara. The Gemara is saying the following, that A and B are both, shall I say, reconcilable. We could maintain both A and B at the same time. A says it depends on his kepeda, and if he decides I'm not makbid, then we drop the case against him. B, in his absence, right, he's locked up in jail, Beis Din will give her kinui on his behalf. How can you reconcile those two? The answer is, when we have a din of zoch and liyom shalom b'fanov, when we're operating on a person's behalf, we do so midine sfeikos, which means we don't know, but we assume, we make assumptions. The halacha works with assumptions. And those assumptions are reliable until proven false. In the case of a woman who misbehaves, the assumption is that her husband would certainly want to shape her up. He would certainly want to warn her. That doesn't mean that he can't drop the case against her. He could.
Yes. The inconsistency is that we're saying that he's a shota, and he doesn't have the capacity to make a decision one way or the other. So therefore, he doesn't have this discretion anymore. He's lost it.
Right, but the question is, let's say tomorrow he becomes sane again, right? We send him to the best psychiatrist.
That's an assumption I don't know that you can make.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not making any assumptions. I'm asking you, what would be in the following scenario? The man gets out of it. He's now in a mental institution, Baruch Hashem. I don't know how often this happens. You know, it doesn't happen too often. But Baruch Hashem, he's out of the insane asylum. They gave him a clean bill of health. He's in remission, okay? And now, what would he say to Beis Din? Would he say to Beis Din, A, hey, thanks. Thanks for telling her to shape up. Or would he say, B, I don't care one way or the other. So the answer is, here we deal with Dinei Sfeikus. And we try to enter into his mindset. And we try to judge and guess, what would he say if he was normal? And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to work on his behalf. Now, we don't have too much time, but at least I want to present to you the third question of the Gemara. We had two questions. One question was whether Overis al Das, to lose Haksuba, needs a Hasra. The second question is, Overis al Das, can the husband be Mochel? Can he say, I'm not Makpid, and continue his relationship with her? And now we have the third question. Baal Shem Mochel al Kinuyov. This is the most profound question of all. For anyone who's learning Masechta Sota, this is a fundamental issue. The man gave his wife kinui. And now he says to her, I'm mochel on the kinui. Mm-hmm. Now again, the first question I have to ask is, what happened between time T1 and time T2? Time T1 he gave a kinui. Time T2 he was mochel on her kinui. What happened in between? Did she violate the kinui? Let's assume she hasn't violated the kinui. Because once she violates the kinui with stira, what happens? She's asur al baila. Mechila is not going to work. But she hasn't gotten a chance yet to violate the kinui. And he says, you know what? I want to rescind my kinui. That's called bitul. That means I want to cancel my kinui. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara vacillates. Kinui of machul? Can he do so? Does he have the valid, does he have the halachic right or authority to do so? Oh, ain't no machul. It's out of his hands. Right. Once the kinui is done, right, it's a done deal. Right. Mi amrina, do we say bikini de baal tola rachmana? The Torah says everything depends upon the baal when he gives our kinui. This means that kinui is an ongoing, what we call in the jargon of halacha, chalos. Chalos means a validity. The validity and the halachic status is ongoing. You know, the kinui keeps going and going. It's a great gift that keeps giving until he says, no, forget about this kinui, or no. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Kevan de Kanile, Meikara, from the moment of the kinui is already frozen. It is not an ongoing kinui. It has done what it's done. It's registered. Velomatsi Machali. He cannot undermine the kinui. The kinui has a chalos, it has a life of its own, and it doesn't depend upon him. And Tashma, the Gemara is going to try to prove from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that sometimes Beis Din will step up to the plate and as a self-appointed agent they will give the kinui on behalf of the deranged husband or if he's locked up in jail and they will offer him the kinui. Well, that seems to indicate that kinui is in the hands of the law, because again, if you're going to tell me that kinui depends upon whether he wants the kinui or he can be mochel on the kinui, it's an ongoing kinui. So what are we doing? We're offering a kinui when the Baal himself could just rescind the kinui? Why should we do so? And that's going to be the sugya for Yom Rishon. And I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. And thank you so much for joining me. And Mr. Shem, we hope that all these learning of Sota will be theoretical and not actual. This is one mesecta that we hope will just be drosh v'kabel schar. It's like learning about Ben Sora Moriah or the Parsha Ritzicha and all the other.
I would think that the Baal should not have the discretion of saying, yes, I'm giving you a warning and tomorrow I'm going to change my mind. You give the warning. It should be something good. That's a permanent.
So again, my answer to you, Marvin, is Ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem. Tosim Lifneihem.
Right.
It's very nice to have intuition, and it's very nice if you
go halacha.
But these are halachic categories, my friend, because the nafkamina is a marriage. So you very, you know, I don't mean you. Don't take this personally. But I'm saying you're very calm about saying the marriage is over, finito. He gave the kinui. It's irreversible. Another person, I don't know who that is, will come along and say, no, let's salvage the marriage. If he decides to rescind the kinui, give him the right to do so. The Torah says that he has the power to give the kinui. Well, give him the power to rescind this kinui. That's called a pesha asar a pesha iter. Who most of love, who mafarik love. Let's save the marriage. Alan, would you want to save this marriage, or you gave up on this marriage? I'm serious. Yeah. What's your intuition? I have a feeling if we would take this up to vote, we would probably have five different opinions.
But I
and yes, there are some big things
in the other way. Fast forward to today's world,
yes.
You have something called Alzheimer's.